There we go. All right. So we're back. Finally. It was a pretty rough couple of months in the, or month, I guess, in there, December and into January, but we're back. How's it going, Joseph?
Oh, well, how you doing, man?
It's going good. I finally got moved back into college. So back into the swing of things. And
you miss Florida.
Yeah, I do. It's okay though. Cause like, I get to be home and I get to be with my friends and all like that. So we're good. So we're here to talk about Esther. But before we get going, you want to say a prayer for us?
Heavenly Father, we come to you today, Lord. And it's been a little while since Kyle and I have been together for this, Father. And so many things have happened, Lord. And you've grown and blessed us both, Father. And Lord, I'd like to thank you just for what you allow us to do and the platform that we've been given, Lord, that we can share your word and share your message and help people learn a little bit about what's going on. And a lot of times in stories and characters that most people don't give a lot of thought to. Father, I ask that you open the hearts of our listeners, Lord, and open their minds, Lord, that they can receive the messages. And I ask that you open mine and Kyle's heart as well, Lord, that we may learn something from this as well. In Jesus' name I pray and ask. Amen.
Amen. So before we begin, the show is brought to you by KingsCouncilCo.com. Y'all can use code TDR10 in order to get 10% off. And we encourage that you do that. Joseph, do you have any show sponsors?
We'll very soon.
Very soon. So
the Smith Homestead will be rolling out again after about a 4-year hiatus.
Very good. What about is there a video company going on in there?
I do. We have a travel video, which actually is doing pretty well. It's part of what's taken up my time the past couple of weeks is getting that going. I'm going to go ahead and name some names. Got a Barbaric Soap and Ground Shark Coffee that I'm currently working for.
Is there a website for that, or are you just sliding your DMs?
There is a website coming.
It's
in the process of being built.
So if y'all got a company or anything that you want promoted with using video, hit up Joseph. He's about to have a website, and then right now, DMs, I guess. But pretty soon, website coming shortly, so that's going to be cool. All right, so like I said, Esther. So Esther was she lived in Persia, which it's odd because the book of Esther does not take place in Israel, which is odd. And also the name of God, or the translated, so in the original text, the name of God is not mentioned at all,
right?
Which is weird. It's not weird, but it's different for a biblical book. But anyway, the king of Persia divorced his wife, and so he needed a new queen. He divorced her because she wasn't willing to show herself off in front of his friends. He had all of his friends over, and he wanted to show them how beautiful his wife was, and she wasn't willing to come, and so he divorced her. And so he needed a new queen. So what he did, his way of finding this new queen, was to have all the virgins in the country come to the palace, and whoever slept with him the best, whoever pleased him the most, would be the queen, which is not biblical, but that's what the Bible says. That's exactly what he did. That's not godly, but it's what he did.
It was Persia. They weren't the godly country. So.
Right, exactly. It wasn't Israel. Mordecai,
I like the VeggieTales version better. with the singing contest.
Oh, very good. Singing contest. So Mordecai, who was a Jewish man living in Persia, he sent his niece Esther. So he had control of his niece because I don't remember exactly why. Did her parents die, or were they just no good parents, or what was it?
I don't remember. I'm not even sure if the Bible tells us.
Right. But anyway, Mordecai was raising his niece, and his niece was Esther. And so he sent – Mordecai worked for the king. He worked in the palace. And so he sent Esther to be a candidate to become the queen. And so Esther prepared in the palace. They had a special room and a preparation type sit process. So she prepared for 12 months, for a whole year, for this one night with the king. And ultimately she became the queen. So the king married her. And after a while, so a bunch of things happened, but the king's right-hand man was Haman. How do you say that?
Haman.
Okay. And so Haman was he didn't like the Jewish people, and particularly Mordecai, because Mordecai wasn't willing to worship Haman as the king's right-hand man. He was only willing to worship God, being a Jewish person. And so Haman wanted to have all of the Jews in Persia killed. And so Mordecai ran away. Esther, who obviously was very close with Mordecai, they made contact, and she wanted to help him. So what she did was she had a banquet with Haman and the king. And so she threw this banquet. She cooked for him. She served him. And the king told her that anything that she wanted, she could have. And so her ask was that the king have mercy on the Jews, let the Jewish people live. And so he agreed, and he even had Haman hung at the very end because he didn't like Mordecai, and that was what Esther wanted. And that's all the notes that I have on the summary of the story. Did I miss anything?
No. You have a little background about Haman, you know, why he hated Mordecai so much. And it was really the Jews, period. Haman was a descendant of a king named Agag, and he was the king of the Amalekites. And anybody that – I'm a nerd, so if you dig into biblical history a lot, the Amalekites and the Israelites are ancient, ancient enemies. So that was just a deep, festering hatred there for anybody that wonders why he was so obsessed with exterminating the Jews.
So what kind of notes do you got to share with us?
Oh, okay. I'm leading off into this. Okay. So this is a story of deliverance of God's people. And, you know, it's actually still celebrated in Israel today, the Feast of Purim, I think it's called, the deliverance from Haman's plan. But I'll give you the overview of the story, of my thoughts on the story, then we can kind of break down into it. With what this boils down to is it's a lesson in God's will and God's plan for everybody. So if you look at the situation with the Israelites and Haman, I mean, it was looking really, really bleak. And Esther had a one in how many chance of becoming queen of Persia? You know, how many women went? I'm sure it was thousands.
Right.
But
well, it was all the virgins in the land went to be
good
try to be
gracious.
The queen.
Yeah, thousands of virgins. Oh my goodness. But anyway, so it's a story of God's plan and trusting in God and trusting in the plan that He has. Because of all of the thousands, Esther was the one picked by the king, and I kind of think that, you know, God put it in the king's heart, kind of helped persuade him to make that choice.
Oh, definitely. I absolutely agree with that, because she would not have been the queen if God had not at least allowed her, but especially made her queen.
Right. And the Bible says that God raises up all rulers.
Right.
So, you know, for all you political people, whether that's Barack Obama or Donald Trump or whoever the next one is, God
Donald
raises.
Trump is president because God wanted him to be.
That's there, exactly I said it. Right. And so was Obama, and so was Bush, and so was
right.
Clinton.
Right.
So, it everybody, everything serves a purpose, including who gets raised up in the king or queen, or president or prime minister, or I don't know what God's thinking with Justin Trudeau in Canada, but that's neither here nor there. But you know, that's really what this is. It's a lesson, and a lot of the Old Testament stories are lessons for us. And even though I believe they're real, I believe it's historical fact, you know, there's still a lesson behind everything. And it's just one more step to prove that the Bible is just a guide to God and how God works and what God's plan is for everybody. So, any thoughts on that?
No,
I left room for questions.
No, I agree with you. I don't know. I don't really have any questions about that. It's God gives you the leaders. God has a will in everybody's life. He controls everything that happens here on earth. And so if he at least has his way in everything that happens here on earth, if he wants something to happen, it's going to happen. So if he wanted Esther to become the queen, he's going to make her queen.
Well, in Esther 4:14, and Malachi says to Esther, and who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. You know, that shows God's sovereignty and God's plan right there.
Right.
So, you know, I think, think about it. An Israelite captive in the land of Persia became queen.
Right.
Of the mightiest empire in the world at that time. So it's absolutely just God's plan and God's timing. And, you know, the story itself is, how do I want to word this? The story itself is kind of a kick in the rear end for us. Tells, you know, how many people are dealing with stuff and going through stuff and everything looks just bleak as possible. You know, you and I personally know one person that's having a hard time with some stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's, these are these little reminders that bring us to knowledge and fruition. And it's just a little reminder. It's God's putting his hand on your shoulder going, hey, I got you. I had Esther. I had the Israelites back then. I got you now. I had the Israelites in Egypt. I got you now.
Right.
So,
and he has gotten much less people, much far. How am I going to say this? Worse, I guess, off people through a lot worse than what we go through.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, and he uses people that are a lot worse to do a lot more than he uses me and you for.
Right. Right.
But, let's see, I'll go back to my notes here. So the message is God is sovereign when life doesn't make sense. That's my summary over it. And how many of us go day to day and we don't know why we're doing what we're doing. We don't know why what's happening to us is what's happening to us. The car broke down, can't pay the light bill. You know, example, the other day, I got a leak in the brake fluid in my truck and I didn't figure this out until I pushed the brake pedal all the way to the floor.
Yeah.
So I got home and I was frustrated with that. Oh, and not only that, the relay switch in my truck messed up. So now the windshield wipers don't turn off. I have to pull the fuse out to operate the windshield wipers. So little aggravations. And then there was an issue at my church that I had to help deal with. And then there was an issue at the school with my kids I had to help deal with. And then that night we come home and the belt on the dryer broke. So it was like little compounding things just all day long. And mm-hmm. You don't know why any of this makes sense. And I have no idea why any of this makes sense. But I promise you, there's a reason for all of it. As mundane and irritating and aggravating as it is. And I know this isn't the same as having my people eradicated. But it's an example of, I don't sweat it because I know there's a reason for it. It is aggravating. But,
right.
You know, right now we're hanging clothes on the clothesline to dry. And it's the rainy season in Mississippi. So it's the shirt I wore to work today was kind of damp still when I put it on. But it's a reminder, and that's what the story is. And I don't know where to go with my thoughts other than that and just kind of drive it home that it's there to remind you that no matter how bad your day is and how bad your life is at that moment, yeah. That it gets better. But there's a plan for it. There's a reason for it. I was talking to, So somebody listened to my testimony on the podcast. I can't remember who it was now, but they were asking me about stuff, you know, when I was homeless. You know, I was homeless when I come out of the Army. And then I went homeless again for a few years after that. And I've been homeless twice in my life, and I've been starving, and I've been 130 pounds. And to see me at 130 pounds, I look, I've got cancer and I'm dying. It's terrible. But and then they asked me if I ever thought about suicide. And I was like, no, never thought about it. But if you look at where I'm at today, and I'm not going to say where I'm at today, but it's a whole lot better situation than I was in. It's another proof of the plan. And you just got to remember, no matter how bad it gets, there's a purpose for it. Mm-hmm. And I can look now, back then, this is the point I was trying to make in my rambling right there, is when I write a blog post or I write a sermon or I do counseling, I have all this stuff that's gone wrong in my life and all the knowledge I gained from it and all the wisdom I gained from it. I'm now able to pull all that to the surface to serve God and to help spread God's word. So, you know, there's that. I now know 10 years after the fact why I was allowed to go through what I went through. Does right. that make sense?
Yes.
So it's, and what the Israelites went through in Persia and Esther coming to the rescue, there's a lesson in all that, that God wants Israel to learn for something that happens later on in the Bible
mm-hmm.
that I'm sure we'll get to in another podcast at some point.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, like, I feel like God protects us from things that we don't know about. And so who's to say that the brakes going out on your truck, God didn't want you to stop at that stop sign because maybe there was something going on there that he didn't want to keep you from.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, that's not, maybe not a good example, but like, I definitely feel like this stuff happens for, he's trying to protect us from something else.
Oh yeah. My wife will complain if she's late leaving for work. And I'm like, there's a reason you're late.
Right. Well, and maybe, and just to go back on the same example, maybe the belt went out on your dryer because you forgot to clean out the lint trap or something, and you were going to catch fire. On fire. Right. Yeah. Like, I think that this stuff happens for a reason, that God makes it happen because he wants to keep us from something else.
Oh, I agree. And there's been, you know, back to my wife being late before, she was real late, like an hour late to work one day last month. And she complained about it. And then after she got to work, she sent me a text, and she passed a really bad wreck, and she never put the two together. But kind of like what you're saying, I told her, I said, if you left on time, you might have been in that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, that happened to me driving home from Florida the other day.
Drove from Florida?
Yeah. We drove there and back.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, it's okay. We did the whole way down in one day, and that sucked. But then driving back, I drove it, and we left the hotel a little bit early, because my brother was a little bit slow getting up, and then we all three, me, my mom, and him, all three had to take showers, and then he wanted to stop for breakfast, and I got a little bit frustrated with him. I said, Chad, man, let's go. His name's Chad. I said, we got to go. Like, come on. We got to get on the road so that I can get back to school. And then leaving the hotel, we passed, there was – an ambulance had just picked up somebody off the road, was driving them away. There was a two cars totaled, two or three cars completely totaled. And the ambulance had just gotten done taking everybody away. And so thank God that we were late, because that could have been us very well.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sorry. I got weird noises going on in the house, and what's freaking me out is I'm the only person here. Like, I got stuff sliding around, something banging.
Oh,
like,
man.
Something just fell. If you're wondering why I'm like looking around all crazy and everything.
Yeah, hopefully there's nobody in your house.
They're going to pay for it if they are. But, so yeah, no, it's, you don't know why, and you get frustrated, and I've gotten frustrated with things mm-hmm. before, and, you know, the boss makes me work late when I'm not expecting to.
Right.
Or last week, I could not make it home in time for our podcast. You know, I tried and tried. It's like something, and that's what it is sometimes. If you ever notice, like, you're in a hurry to get somewhere, but something's always slowing you down. Right. Something's getting in your way. You get behind a slow car. Every red light hits you, you know.
And do you remember what I told you when you were frustrated? I texted you. Do you remember what I said?
Yeah.
What I say?
Oh, word for word, I don't remember what you said. Hold on, I'll tell you what you said.
It was something along the lines of, God wanted us to have more time to study. And let me tell you why, because I had been busy all week and I hadn't had much time to study for this lesson. So I had a couple of notes as it. Yep, maybe God wanted me to be more prepared. So he made you late to help me out.
Man, I was frustrated though. I was like, I could not get home.
Like I said, I had rushed through studying that one, so I didn't think I was ready. And so I was kind of dreading it. Well, God had a plan.
God's like, Kyle, I got you, man.
He's got me in more ways than I know.
I'm gonna make Joseph aggravated just so you can.
That's funny.
And that's another point, you know, maybe it's not you that God is doing it for. Maybe it's somebody else.
Right.
What? And do you hear that?
Like, all I hear right now is like the only thing I hear right now is like a tick, like that. Sure. That I heard.
Yeah. I'm the only one in here. There's no animals in here or nothing.
Oh, snap. That's not good. Go check that out,
sorry.
Joseph.
Sorry. Yeah, I'll be back. Keep talking.
It's good. So, yeah, so Esther. So I find it interesting that she prepared for 12 months. And so I'm not talking to anybody right now. I'm just talking to the listeners. So she was, for 12 months, she was, I think the process was like she had to soak herself in fancy fragrances and something like that. But she had to get ready for 12 months for just one night with the king. And that goes back into the same exact thing we were talking about where God, so he wanted her to be queen. And but the thing is, he didn't make it easy on her either. And so I think that if we want to be following God's will, Joseph, is everything okay?
Yeah, everything's good.
All right, good.
I guess everything's good. I got a ghost in the house or something. But nothing's smoking, nothing's burning, nothing's like, nobody's here trying to kill me.
Very good. So I was just talking about the whole, she had to prepare for 12 months for this one night with the king. And what I was saying was, God didn't make it easy on her. So yeah, she was going to be the queen and he was going to make her the queen, but he definitely didn't make it. Oh yeah, go up there. The king will see you and you'll be the queen right away. Like, if we want to be in God's will, it's going to be a process. Like, we're going to have to go through our 12 months for the one night.
Absolutely.
And so, like, I don't know, however you see that, like, help me out here, Joseph. That could be persecution. That could be missing out on things that we otherwise would have wanted to do. That could be anything.
No, I mean, that so many people, and one of the things I do is at churches is called discipleship program, and we take new Christians in and we kind of walk through the Bible with them, show them different things in the Bible, teach them a little bit about living a Christian life. And I find that so many new Christians come in with the thought that everything's better.
Right.
You know, I got saved. Everything's better. Everything's new. My life's going to be great now. And it's a process, and I have to sit down and show them it's a process that you got to work on this. You have to struggle. You have to fight. You have to change. You have to want this.
For the record, life as a saved person is way better than life as a lost person.
Goodness, yes.
But he's right. Like, there's going to be some struggles. You're going to have to suffer for the Lord.
And I mean, he suffered for us, so we have to suffer for him. And,
exactly.
And you know, you hit the nail on the head. I've been both. I've spent much more of my life not saved than I have saved, and being saved is so much better.
Yeah.
I mean, the peace, the joy, the love. I mean, it's just, my life's completely different, and I'm so blessed. It's beyond belief. I'm not blessed with money and houses and cars, and I'm blessed with peace and happiness and a loving wife and awesome kids. And, you know, that's my blessing and that's my joy. But it's a struggle. And, you know, even now there's sometimes I'm like, you know, kind of like that gift that I like to use on Twitter a lot It's I'm exasperated. I don't know why what's happening is happening. Mm-hmm. But I'm at a place now that it's just like, Lord, I don't know why you're doing this. I wish you'd just tell me, but you know, it's kind of, I know it's a waiting game.
Right.
And that's something that I want to mention, you know, on this subject is when you pray for something, you know, it doesn't always get answered. If it's not God's will, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get a relative sick with cancer and God, please heal them. And you know, everybody wants a relative healed, but if it's God's will to take them home and not heal them, he's not going to grant that prayer.
Right.
And people get mad.
Right.
And you just have to understand, but you also have to understand that sometimes when you pray, it is in God's will, but maybe that's something he plans on giving you 5 years from now and not right now when you want it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've always said that God has 3 answers to every prayer. And so if you pray, he's going to give you one of these 3. It's going to be yes, he'll grant the prayer. It's going to be no, I have something better for you. Or it's going to be wait. You might have to wait for it.
Yeah. And I've waited for more than he said yes to. Mm-hmm. So, it's crazy to see. But sometimes prayer comes quick. And I sinned pretty bad over the weekend. And I'm not going to confess it, but you know, one of those instant Holy Spirit convictions hits your knees in prayer. God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And something happened to me earlier this week. I spent most of this week in a lot of pain, and I don't remember I had y'all pray
mm-hmm.
last night. I asked all y'all to pray.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many of y'all actually prayed, but I woke up this morning. I'm fine. Pain's mm-hmm. gone. Nothing. So I look at that as, you know, a lot of people's going to think I'm saying God's mean and cruel or whatever, but I look at that as God getting my attention. Hey, what you did wasn't what you're supposed to be doing.
Right. Are you and telling me that you can be a saved Christian and still sin?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. It's crazy, right?
Right.
So, but you know, y'all prayed for me. I had some other people praying for me, and I woke up this morning, and what's been days and days and days, like yesterday, I didn't go to church yesterday. I couldn't hardly walk. Mm-hmm. I was hurting so bad. And I woke up this morning, and it's fine. It's gone. So I look at that as like a father to a child. He kind of gave me a paddling.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you did wrong. This is how you know you did wrong. And then when I begged for mercy and then asked people to pray for me the next day, it's like, it's gone. Like, I'm shocked. I've spent all day just praising God for it. So even though he shows, I got a little bit of discipline for you, but I have this love and mercy for you as well.
Yep, absolutely.
So sometimes prayer is instant. So that was kind of a praise God and an example of the yes answer to prayer. So it's just people have to understand that God's going to work on God's time, and God's time's not our time.
Right.
And as the Bible say, 1,000 years a day 1,000 years, we can't comprehend God and his time and his plans, and we can't do it. One day we can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So to tie that back in, how long was Mordecai fled? How long was he in hiding for?
Oh, that's good. That's a good question.
Do you know?
I don't, not off the top of my head.
But Mordecai was in hiding, and I can only imagine that he was praying to get to go back to his house and for his friends, his Jewish friends that were around him. And so he had to wait for some answers too.
I'm looking for the answer.
But yeah, so we're talking right now about Haman who wanted to kill all the Jews in Persia. And so Mordecai fled and went into hiding. And like I said, he was likely, I don't think the Bible says it, but we can infer that he was praying for himself to get back to his house, praying for Esther, his niece, and probably praying for the people around him that were practicing Jews also, that Haman was trying to kill, and Haman did kill many of them. And so there was probably a lot of prayer going on Mordecai's part while he was in hiding. And as we see in the story, God had to work on Esther as well in order to get those prayers answered. And so it was more than just a yes or a no right away, instant kind of thing. Mordecai had to wait for a while.
I don't see an answer to that question. But yeah. I mean, if he had to train up Esther for a year, you know, there's at least a year of waiting. Right there.
Right.
So I'm looking, I'm on this Jewish website, this Israeli website right now, and they said that the number of Jews that was expected to be killed in Persia was somewhere around 75,000.
Wow.
So Mordecai was trying to kill. Mm-hmm. It's a complete genocide. So, I mean, Holocaust 1.0. But thankfully, it didn't happen. But you know, he prayed for at least a year. And how long had they been praying before that?
Right.
You know, I'm sure it wasn't just before Mordecai tried to kill everybody. Not Mordecai, Haman tried to kill everybody that Mordecai was praying. You know, I'm sure the Jews have been praying for quite a while, for years, to be released.
Well, were they slaves in that land?
I don't know if they were slaves so much as just a lower class of people.
Okay.
Because they were a conquered people.
Right.
And it's one of the exiles from the land of Israel was under the Persians.
Yeah, so that's all the notes I have. What else do you got?
All right, let me go back to my notes here. So, I think we've kind of pretty much covered everything in one way or another. So, final note, life is hard. Difficulties happen. We've already discussed that. Mm-hmm. And pain cannot be avoided.
Pain demands a response.
Pain does demand a response.
Shout out my man, Roman McClay.
But, you know, despite the hard times and the difficult times and the pain that you're going to have to endure, and we're all going to have to endure, emotional, physical, spiritual, God is right there at the end to deliver us from it.
Yep.
And kind of like what I said a minute ago about what I've been through in my life already and how I use it now, I think that's why God gives us hard times and difficult times and painful times, so that we can learn from it, grow from it, and use it in the future for His purpose. Everything we do in our lives for God's purpose, right?
Right.
I think it should be. I think everything He allows to happen to us is for His glory and for a future purpose for Him.
Yep.
So that is my notes.
That's everything I got as well.
Yep, that's it.
I think we're running a pretty short podcast today.
Yeah.
All right. So
we didn't really get down any rabbit holes like we usually do.
Right. Right. Well, we were pretty much on the same page the whole way.
Yeah. I mean, other than the ghost in my house.
But all right. So y'all go to kingscouncilco.com, use code TDR10, hit up Joseph for some videos, and be on the watch for the Smith Homestead. That just,
buy the shampoo, y'all. I use it every night.
So the Smith Homestead just fired back up their Twitter account. So go search that. I think it's just Smith Homestead.
It's Homestead_Smith.
Okay, yeah. So be on the lookout for that. And yeah, we got some big stuff coming.
Yeah, when we finish here, I'm going in there and pouring candles. The very first scent out is whiskey.
Oh, very good.
And Christian podcast, but you know,
that's okay. Hey, we're just smelling it. We're not drinking
masculine
it.
Masculine scent, right. But, so yeah, everything's on the go. Lord's really throwing some blessings down on me, and I hope He does on you and everybody that's listening as well.
Yeah, very good, very good. So I'm going to say a prayer and then we'll end it, all right?
All right, brother.
All right, Heavenly Father, thank you very much for the opportunity to meet here today. Thank you for everybody that's listening to this, and thank you for letting me just talk to Joseph. God, I pray that if there's anybody out there who could benefit from this, Lord, that they would reach out to, whether that be to me or to Joseph or to somebody that they know. Lord, I pray that you be with our families, Lord. Bless my family, bless Joseph's family, bless everybody out there listening to this. And Father, we continue to pray that this whole thing is in your will, Lord, and all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We'll be back next week.